Welcome to the Word and Spirit Podcast with Reverend Randall Greer. Before we join Reverend Greer, let me tell you about our website. RandallGreer.org is filled with information that is sure to be a blessing to you, including free downloads of MP3s, videos, Bible studies, newsletters, and other materials. That address again is www.randallgreer.org. Greer is spelled G-R-I-E-R. Now, let's go to Reverend Greer.
Has any been knocking at your door? Is any sitting on your sofa at your house? Is any kicked back anywhere? Is any lay up in your bed somewhere? Somebody hide in your closet? Well, maybe you ought to go home and have a devil kicking service. And I'm not talking about kicking your spouse out either. I'm not talking about that. But maybe you ought to just go in and decide that I'm going to take authority here. And when you talk about these kind of things, you have to be wise enough to say, that don't mean that we want to become demon conscious or devil kooky. We're not looking for that. I like what Dad Hagin used to say. He said, you don't have to go hunting the devil. He said, there'll be enough of them a-hunting you. So we know that, you know, I don't have to hunt the devil. I'm not on some devil hunt or some kooky thing. I want to be Jesus Christ conscious, the Word of God conscious, Father God conscious, and Holy Ghost conscious. That's what I'm going to meditate on. I'm not going to meditate on how many demons are out there and what they're doing and all that. But if I run into one, I need to know what to do. But I don't want to become just constantly caught up in that, and that's where people get off and get weird. They get to thinking about devils, demons, and that's all they think about. Well, there's other subjects in the Bible, other Bible truths that we need to know about just as much as we need to know about devils, demons, and evil spirits. And if you just get over-focused on one particular truth in the Word of God, you can go off the deep end. I remember this. I was in a meeting with Dr. Kenneth E. Hagin back in, I believe it was 1986. You know, I got a perfect memory, so it's coming to me. Remember how I got to saying that? I had a habit of saying, I can't remember. I don't remember. I can't remember. I don't remember. And then one day the Lord just spoke right up in my spirit. He said, you know why you can't remember? I said, well, no, Lord. He said, because you say you can't. He said, my word says in Mark 11:23, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. If you believe it with your heart and say it with your mouth, it'll come to pass in your life. Now, just because you say something a few times or maybe 100 times or several 100 times don't mean it's going to happen. But if you keep saying something long enough, whether it's true or false, faith comes by what? Hearing. If you hear it enough, you're going to believe it. And it's going to register on your spirit as a truth, and that's going to be a reality in your life, whether you want it or not. So the Lord showed me. I said, well, Lord, what do I say then? Because I didn't remember. He said, just say, it's coming to me. You know, I thought about it. Yeah, it's coming to me. Said, what if it takes 18 years? It'd be better to be 18 years than to never come. I'm telling you. But, you know, once I changed my thinking, and I still catch myself periodically, you know, I still catch myself, you know, because habits sometimes are hard to change, saying those things. But when I changed that, then it's amazing how it would come to me. You know, I'd say, instead of saying, I don't remember that, I would tell somebody, it's coming to me. Of course, they'd look at me strange. You know, it's coming to me because the habit is, and the culture is to say, well, I don't remember. I can't remember. I don't remember. I don't remember. If you don't believe that's true, just ask Brother Clinton when they had him on trial. I don't remember. I don't recall. I don't remember. I could have helped him, but let me. I say it's just coming to me. You know, and the reason I use him is not to belittle or make fun or whatever. It's just everybody knows about it, you know. And it's just national, international news. You know what I mean? And he said, I did not, you know, and all that. But anyway, he couldn't remember. He couldn't recall. And that's the way they sidestep things, you know. I'd work on that memory for him. So if you want to work on your memory, just say, instead of saying, I can't remember, just say, it's coming to me. It's coming to you. It will come to you. Said, how often are things? Why? Because you need something up there to work with. That's what they tell me. You don't need to get losing your mind unless you're going to get the mind of Christ. But they tell me you need something up there to work with. But we're talking about, you know, death and life is in the power of the tongue. And that's a part of what we're talking about in relation to the overall subject of when prayer will not help you. There are times that it will do you no good to pray to God to help you. Now, certainly we can pray for God to help us and God to give us revelation, so we're not belittling that fact. But when there's a Bible fact and truth that's already been established by Scripture, and you're trying to pray to God to change the Scriptures to fit your situation, He can't do that, because He cannot violate His Word to get to you what you need. And so Kenneth E. Hagin had to be taught by the Lord that you're violating the Word of God. I can't answer your prayer. I can't answer your prayer and command the devil to leave. Why? Because I've given you the authority. You have the authority over the devil. Nowhere in the New Testament, remember Jesus pointed this out, that nowhere in the New Testament is a believer told to pray to God the Father or the Lord Jesus Christ to do something about the devil for them. But they're always told for them to do something about the devil. So you can resist the devil and he will flee from you. So when is it unscriptural to pray to God to do something about the devil for you? Anytime. It is anytime. It's unscriptural for you to pray to God, excuse me, to do something about the devil for you. Why? Because he's already done everything that he's ever going to do. Let's look at Luke chapter 10, another scripture along these lines, and go ahead and just drive this point on down in the ground. Is that all right?
Sure.
The spiritual ground of our heart. Luke chapter 10. You have authority over the devil. I have authority over the devil. Remember, we're not going to become devil kooky or devil conscious. We'll become Jesus Christ conscious and God the Father conscious. Jesus sent 70 of his disciples out on a missionary journey in Luke chapter 10. And then, when they came back, they gave this report. Luke chapter 10, verse 17. It says, and the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through what? Through thy name. So that means the devils are subject unto the believer. How? Through the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said unto them, he said, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. And behold, I give unto you power or authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Notice in verse 19, he said, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. So it matters not how big the devil is. It matters not how big the problem is when it comes to demon spirits. He said, you have authority over all of it. Isn't that right? Over every devil and every demon. But notice, he said, the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, in verse 17, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. So the devil is subject to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now let me tell you about a true life story that I experienced in learning this myself. When my son was born, most of you know that he has what medical science calls the birth defects. And he's healthy and normal today because we went through and fought for his life and believed God and stood on the Word of God and thanked God for that. God gave us the faith. He gave us the ability and whatever to believe for him. But he has what medical science called birth defects. Now, they didn't know what it was, but he started having violent seizures, the day after or 2 days after he was born, right in there somewhere, and he would be as dead. I mean, he would be lifeless. He would be, his body would be stiff, eyes roll back in his head, and this would happen. And he was so, tiny that at that time, if you could have balanced him, you could have balanced him on your finger, if you knew how to balance good, because that's how stiff his body would be. The doctors and nurses would work with him in the hospital. He stayed in the hospital over 2 weeks, when he was first born, just because of all these problems. They gave him every shot, lotion, and potion known to man, Everything they could do, medicine that they had. They brought in these, what they call us, neurologists. Is that what they call them? Work on the brain. They brought these people in and all kind of stuff and run just test after test after test. And in fact, it come down, till we had about $1 million baby, not quite, about $800,000 baby on our hands, And thank God for insurance at that time because, the medical bills are, and we didn't see the little fine print, in the deal that the insurance would only pay for one specialist besides the pediatrician to see my son per day. And we didn't know that. And of course, we didn't care. But it would only pay for one specialist, and there were five specialists seeing him besides his pediatrician. Has anybody ever went to a specialist before? You know, specialists, kind of their fees are kind of big, especially when they've come to the hospital, you know, leave the office and everything. And I'm not belittling that. Thank God for what they know and do. So it don't take long to run up, you know, hospital bill, if you know, $10,000-$12,000 a day. And it don't take long for the money just to go and go and go and go and go and go, just being in a hospital alone. But God was helping us. But my son, they sent him home because they didn't know what else to do. And, of course, the insurance was, you know, wanting him to go home, too. You know, and things, you know, how all that stuff works. But anyway, we went home with him, and we was believing God for his healing. I mean, we tried every lotion and potion known to man. We even had one of the specialists. Let me tell you what he told us to do. Are you ready for this? Now, this is in modern day. Was we in the 20th or 21st century then? I mean, modern day medicine. He said, take your son, set him in his car seat, put him on the dryer, and turn it on.
Thank you for joining us for the Word and Spirit podcast. I just want to take a moment to tell you about two of Reverend Greer's products available on our website. First is his personal testimony, Escape from Hell, which details the events that led up to him miraculously being released from prison, receiving a full pardon with the right to own a firearm, and stepping into his calling of God. This is available as a book, CD, or DVD format. Second is Reverend Greer's second book, How to Change Your Life. This book will show you how to bring permanent change in your life through the power of God. And once you've changed, change will bring success. These products, as well as many more, can be found on our online store at www.randallgreer.org or by writing us at Randall Greer Ministries, P.O. Box 140516, Broken Arrow, Oklahoma 74014. Thanks for joining us for the Word and Spirit podcast with Reverend Randall Greer. Join us here next time as Reverend Greer brings forth the Word of God in Word and Spirit. And remember, God is with us.